News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. A day after the National Investigation Agency took over the Jammu airport blast case, senior officers reached ground zero for an assessment of the crime scene. Though superintendent rank NIA officers have been at the site of the explosion from day one, officially the agency has begun probe only now. Senior officers from Delhi, including those from IG and DIG ranks, reached Jammu yesterday. The DG NIA is also expected to visit shortly. The chiefs of the Counter-Terror Force, NSG, and the civil airports guarding Central Industrial Security Force had on Wednesday inspected the scene of the terror attack at the Air Force Station in Jammu. National Security Guard Director General M.A. Ganapathy and CISF Acting DG S.K. Saxena visited the Jammu airport where the Indian Air Force Station is located and conducted a recce of the blast site. They met officials from multiple agencies to coordinate perimeter security of the Jammu airport. The NSG has deployed anti-drone units at Jammu and nearby air bases. Investigating officials said that so far there are no leads to ascertain the identity of the conspirators. This is going to be a long, painstaking probe, an official said. Officials said initially the possibility of mortar being used to blast the building near the Mi-17 helicopter hangars was considered, but a thorough search of the building pointed towards the use of a drone. The roof was torn apart and the explosives came at a 90-degree angle. The sariya, or iron rods used in construction, was fully bent and the table kept directly below the roof was blown apart. That made it clear that the explosives saw a straight 90-degree drop. Only a bomb dropped straight from the top could have this trajectory, an official told News 18. Another officer added that even though the theory of a drone being operated from inside Indian territory is still being considered, the possibility of this is remote. But as part of the investigation, the mobile tower data dump and internet activities are being analyzed. Mobile and internet activities in the area are being scanned, but this is a long process. It will take time, the officer said. The IAF personnel who were on patrolling duty on the night of the explosion have given their statement to the police and NIA, but no significant lead has emerged. A person on duty in a statement said he heard a whirring sound, but the explosion happened before he could react, a source told News 18. The forensic report on the IED is still awaited, but investigators suspect it was made by experts. The IED used was very sophisticated, not the kind that anybody can put together. It almost looks like the work of an ordnance factory, an officer told News 18. NIA suspects the Pakistani Army and ISI could have aided Lashkar-e-Taiba in carrying out the operation. But officers said that in the absence of any direct lead from the ground, it is too early to take names. The ED on Thursday said fugitive businessman Nirav Modi's sister has remitted over Rs 17 crore from a UK bank account to that of the Indian government after she was allowed pardon from criminal proceedings in lieu of extending help in the PNB loan fraud case. On June 24, Purvi Modi intimated Enforcement Directorate that she had received the knowledge of one bank account in London, United Kingdom, in her name, which was opened at the behest of her brother Nirav Modi, and that the funds did not belong to her, as Purvi Modi was allowed tender of pardon on conditions of making full and true disclosure. She remitted an amount of US dollar. As Purvi Modi was allowed tender of pardon on conditions of making full and true disclosure, she remitted an amount of US dollar 2,316,889.03 from her UK bank account to the bank account of the Government of India, Directorate of Enforcement, the Central Probe Agency said in a statement. With the cooperation of Purvi Modi, it said the ED has been able to recover about Rs 17.25 crore from the proceeds of the crime, it said. Nirav Modi is presently lodged in a UK jail and has lost his extradition plea to India in connection with the alleged US$2 billion loan fraud at the Brady House branch of Punjab National Bank in Mumbai. Bharatiya Janata Party legislator and leader of opposition in West Bengal Assembly Shubhendu Adhikari on Thursday met Union Home Minister Amit Shah and reportedly discussed issues of post-poll violence in the state, implementation of central schemes, and the party's plan to take on the ruling Trinamool Congress in the Assembly, with the next session beginning on July 2. The meeting that lasted about 30 minutes was held at Shah's 6A Krishnamenon Marg residence in the capital. The two met for the second time in less than a month after Shubhendu became the LOP in Bengal. The previous occasion was on June 8 in Delhi. There are reports that the Bengal BJP leader also met former Trinamool Congress parliamentarian Dinesh Trivedi, who is now with the Saffron Party, and Solicitor General Tushar Mehta. The agenda and outcome of the meetings are not known. The Trinamool Congress in Bengal and the BJP in power at the centre have been at loggerheads for months since the vitriolic campaigning for this year's April-May assembly elections in the state that the TMC won by a wide margin. However, Chief Minister and Trinamool Chairperson Mamata Banerjee lost from the Nandigram seat to Shubhendu Adhikari, her former party colleague and protege. The two parties have been in a bitter confrontation over the post-poll violence in the state, the acrimonious relationship between the CM and Governor Jagdeep Dhankar, who is the centre's representative in Bengal, controversy over an abrupt order from the Union Government to transfer Chief Secretary Alapan Bandyopadhyay, and demands from some BJP leaders to impose President's rule as well as split the state, among a range of nettlesome disputes. TMC spokesperson Kunal Ghosh condemned Shubhendu's meeting with Tushar Mehta and asked how a person like the BJP leader, who is allegedly involved in the Narada scandal, was being entertained by the Solicitor General, who is representing the Central Bureau of Investigation in the case. He is a CBI lawyer in the Narada case, and he's meeting Shubhendu Adhikari, who is named in the FIR in the Narada case. What is going on? He, that is Shubhendu Adhikari, should be immediately arrested, he added. A sting operation was conducted by Narada News Portal founder Matthew Samuel for over 2 years. Ahead of the 2016 assembly elections, he released videos purportedly showing 13 TMC ministers and leaders accepting bribes in return for favours. West Bengal BJP President Dilip Ghosh said he was unaware of the reasons behind Shubhendu's meetings with Amit Shah and others in the national capital. I don't know why he went to Delhi. Maybe he has some suggestions that he wanted to share with them, that is the central leaders, Ghosh said. Donald Trump's company and its longtime finance chief were charged on Thursday in what prosecutors called a sweeping and audacious tax fraud scheme in which the executive collected more than $1.7 million in off-the-books compensation, including apartment rent, car payments, and school tuition. Trump himself was not charged, but prosecutors noted that he signed some of the compensation checks at the center of the alleged scheme. It is the first criminal case to come out of New York authorities' two-year investigation into the former president's business dealings. According to the indictment from 2005 through this year, the Trump Organization and Chief Financial Officer Alan Weisselberg cheated tax authorities by conspiring to pay senior executives off the books by way of lucrative fringe benefits and other means. Weisselberg alone was accused of defrauding the federal government, state, and city out of more than $900,000 in unpaid taxes and undeserved tax refunds. The most serious charge against Weisselberg, grand larceny, carries 5 to 15 years in prison. The tax fraud charges against the company are punishable by a fine of double the amount of unpaid taxes, or $250,000, whichever is larger. The 73-year-old Weisselberg has intimate knowledge of the Trump Organization's financial dealings from nearly 5 decades at the company. The charges against him could enable prosecutors to pressure him to cooperate with the investigation and tell them what he knows. Both Weisselberg and lawyers for the Trump Organization pleaded not guilty. Weisselberg was ordered to surrender his passport and was released without bail, leaving the courthouse without comment. In a statement, Trump condemned the case as a political witch hunt by the radical left Democrats. Weisselberg's lawyers said he will fight these charges. The case is being led by Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. and New York Attorney General Letitia James, both Democrats. Vance has been investigating a wide range of matters involving Trump and the Trump Organization, such as hush money payments made to women on Trump's behalf and whether the company falsified the value of its properties to obtain loans or reduce its tax bills. The news comes as Trump has been more seriously discussing a possible comeback run for president in 2024. He has ramped up his public appearances, including holding his first rallies since leaving the White House. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again next week with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com. And do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Have a very good day and a great weekend.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.